the crypts where everyone else is hiding, and he will resurrect dead Stark family members and turn them into his allies. I heard this on a Reddit thread made by guys without girlfriends who haven't had sex in a while. They know this show better than anybody else. That's all they think about. I can't wait. Game of Thrones, 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 Dragons, Game of Thrones.
Welcome to Shows What You Know About Game of Thrones. And thank you, Francis Ellis, for giving us a very special intro to this week's discussion of Season 8, Episode 3, The Long Night. An episode so shocking and divisive that it relapsed me into my previous cold, gave me a fever, and put me on antibiotics. Thanks, Arya. My name is Jacob Burrows.
My name's Jim Scampoli, and I'm almost sick of hearing about Game of Thrones.
Ah, should we just cut it now? I mean, we're almost a week late. It's almost like everyone's had an opinion.
Yep.
We've all talked it to death. Oh, the long night, we get it. But I don't think so. I think there's still things to be said, even if they're the same things everyone else did.
Yeah, I think you're right. Wow, what an exhausting week. It's almost like I've been through the longest night, if you will. It's been quite a battle this week. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit in our last discussion of episode 2, and I'm gonna put it right out on Front Street right at the beginning. I was extremely disappointed in this episode, and I think one of the biggest reasons, because I did mention it last week, is that I'm not ready for the Night King to just be, you know, dust or whatever bad effect they use when he just turns into ice cubes in my little old fashioned. Hoo-hoo, here's a piece of the Night King in my old fashioned. Sip, sip. Just because I felt like there's not only all the buildup and the time between just showing the White Walkers and the Army of the Dead, but Bran's whole story obviously has been tied to this. So all the time with that. I mean, there's still episodes left. There's still time to, you know, get into the fallout, which would maybe change my opinion. But I feel like no matter what, having this be the culmination of that already set my expectations maybe a little too high. So maybe I'm being unfair, but that's at least the initial thoughts. Jacob, what do you have to say?
Well, as always, you and I personify different parts of culture and the internet so that we can clash for the amusement of our listeners. I have to say, what you're saying is completely and totally fair. I'm not disappointed to that degree. Maybe, and I don't want to be like the tap my nose guy, I'm the greatest, but like, I did a whole video on this. I don't know if anyone remembers the video I did on Game of Thrones, and it kind of set my expectations fairly low for this season. Not like super low, but it was a shocking thing, kind of, obviously, because I mean, I'm very sad that we don't get the scene where they break apart the Iron Throne and use the swords to fight the White Walkers, like I've talked about for years. But I don't know. In the moment, I'm still with it. Like, my first thought was like, what? I did say what the fuck over and over while watching it. But my first thought was like, what is going to happen next? Like, what is going to be the next three episodes? And I think there's an enormous potential for them to disappoint me, like, enormously, as they've done previously sometimes with the whole character intrigue where things don't really add up. But I'm in it for now. I'm with it. I can, like, I'm going to wait and see. As far as the episode itself, I think it worked on that level, and I will reserve judgment on killing the Night King until the end of the season.
Well, and I guess, and obviously we're going to get into this, everything on paper I'm fine with. Because I was even saying, I said last discussion, I was like, they kind of have to, it's going to be wrapped up next week, even though I didn't want it. I was like, there's no, because it didn't seem like there's no way that it would have been like, we're being overrun. Let's run to King's Landing. And like, there was no way to get around it. It was like, uh-oh, everyone's here. They're showing up. It's going to be wrapped up. I kind of knew it in the back of my head. So most of the stuff on paper, I don't have a problem with. Execution-wise, I feel like so many drop balls, which also just kind of sets up some of the disappointment. And I know I'm probably annoying if you enjoyed it. I know a lot of people enjoyed it. I feel like even though there's a loud minority of us complaining about this episode, I do feel like the majority still did enjoy it. At least that's my perception. So I do apologize for that. If you enjoyed it, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That's great. This is not really connected, but I can't help but connect it. I'd have to bring up, because it was Avengers Endgame weekend as well, and I'm one of the people that really enjoyed Avengers Endgame, and maybe that's part of it. Maybe because I feel like, not that this Game of Thrones episode is a conclusion, obviously, because we have three episodes left, but at least it was a conclusion of this particular plot line, and I came out of one Avengers Endgame being like, wow, what a great way to nail that and tie it all together. And then in this one, I was like, ah, this is kind of a letdown. And if I could call out Jacob Burrows. Now, Jacob Burrows, my co-host here, he makes these pretentious videos about Game of Thrones where he ravels on for 40 minutes. And even when he saw Avengers Endgame, he's like kind of embarrassed because his first message to me is, good movie. They punched well. And I'm like, look at this pretentious piece of shit acting like he's above Avengers Endgame but loving Game of Thrones. Get out of my face, Jacob Burrows.
Sure. Okay. So this relates to our current discussion. How exactly?
I'm just saying, there's this self-hating Avengers Endgame fan in you. And I just want people to not think Game of Thrones is some sort of high art above an Avengers movie. That's it.
Sure, I did go into further details, which I won't bring up here because of the spoilers and all, but I am very positive on Avengers Endgame as well, and I do totally understand what you're saying, because that movie does wrap things up in such a satisfying way compared to this episode. I see where you're coming from, for sure. But I'm reserving judgment. Now, what you said about like everything on paper being fine and the execution being not so good, I think that's what I've heard from most people who are negative on the show. Or, sorry, the episode. Because, like, I feel... you also said, you know, most people positive. I would be so interested to actually have numbers on this, because I've mostly seen negative stuff. But then I think... that's because people who have negative opinions go to the internet and share them a lot. And people I've talked to in real life have been like, whoa, that was so cool. But then some of them, not so much. So I'd be really interested to see what the split is at the moment on just pure positive and negative. But anyway, I think the people who have a positive opinion, some of them anyway, will look at the people who have a negative opinion and say that, you know, they're just not happy because Arya killed the Night King, and what are you, anti-feminist, etc. And I've honestly not heard that a lot. Like, not a lot of people are going like, Arya shouldn't have done it, it should have been Jon. But a lot of people are not happy with how the execution actually worked out, which I'm sure we'll get into.
Yes, I've seen that a little bit. I've also seen a big one where people saying, oh, the haters... it's just because they're book readers. I haven't read any of the books, and I didn't enjoy it. So I at least, if that's been the norm, I'm an exception to that. But I saw that was a common thing. And again, I don't want to be a hater. I don't want to, like, I'm not trying to shit on something that people enjoyed. I'm just kind of going with my, you know, I'm just trying to get my point of view. So I hope I don't come off too haterish as we talk about it.
Yeah, no worries. I also, incidentally... it's kind of fun to know, because I feel like we know now that this is not at all what's going to happen in the books, which is kind of exciting in a weird way, because it means we still get to experience the end of this story in a different format and in a completely different way.
Do you really think that Arya will not kill the Night King in the books?
I suppose it is possible, but there's a quote in the sort of after the show talk where... D&D say, for 3 years, or for almost 3 years, we've known that it was going to be Arya who delivered the fatal blow. I feel that indicates that it's not George R.R. Martin's definitive version.
Although there was, someone pulled, I'm paraphrasing here, there was an old quote from a George R.R. Martin interview where he was talking about expectations, and he's like, he did say something like, you know, I'm not going to be... pushed away, like if I have a kid kill the Night King, you know. And I guess to be fair, they're all kind of kids in the books, so but I don't know. There was some quote that made it seem like it definitely was Arya, but I guess we'll see.
Maybe I'm completely wrong about this, yeah. And as I mentioned, got a bit of a fever, can't think clearly, but I was left with the impression that this is not how it's going to go down in the actual, you know, books. If maybe Arya does deliver the final blow, but all this stuff about prophecy and shit, it has been so much more central in the books, indicating a lot more that it has to be Jon or Dany, but then... Yes, he would like to go against prophecy as well, I feel, because that's kind of, you know, the thing.
That does tie in with one of the emails. We've got a few emails on this, and just because someone kills the Night King, though, does that mean they're the prince or princess that was promised? I don't know if that necessarily ties in, right? Because I can think that's similar to a lot of people are like, well, Arya killed the Night King, now she's going to sit on the Iron Throne. And it's like, well, I don't know if that's how it works. Like, or they're like, oh, yeah, well, I mean, Jon's got his stake towards the throne. Of course, Daenerys does. We've killed Cersei, but who killed the Night King? It was Arya. Go ahead, Arya. You are a new queen. I mean, I guess, let me see. Let me pull up. Because we do have a few emails, so maybe we'll kind of scatter them throughout our discussion here.
Sure.
And let me actually pull that. I believe it was from Shane. I hope you're both enjoying this season of Game of Thrones so far. I have a few questions for you both. Feel free to answer as many or as few as you want to. Yeah, what were your thoughts on the show subverting the Azor Ahai expectation now that we know that is Arya rather than Jon or Dany, as fans of the show were always suggesting? And again, like, I haven't read the books, but I was kind of looking at the prophecy a little bit, and the prophecy is just what, the one who was promised or something or other, the prince or princess that was promised. But isn't it also, like, a little bit more? I mean, I know the books have something where it's like they were born under a crescent moon or whatever the hell they say.
Sure, yeah. Well, as far as, like, oh, let's put him on the Iron Throne then. You know, this Azor Ahai goes back, like, thousands and thousands of years before the Iron Throne was even a thing.
Yeah.
And I always got the sense, I'm honestly, like, I'm not encyclopedic on, you know, the book and that, but I always got the sense that it was more to do with who would defeat the Long Night, like, who would break the darkness, because that was what Azor Ahai was famous for. I don't know that he was, like, known as a king as much as a savior of the world, who, like, kept the Night King at bay or whatever, and that this would be, like, you know, this person reborn doing the same thing. So that's why people are saying that. So it doesn't necessarily mean put Arya on the throne right away. It
gotcha.
Doesn't fulfill the prophecy in that way, in my estimation.
Yeah, the prophecy speaks of a legend, a savior who arise again to fight the darkness. The weapon will be a sword engulfed in flames called Lightbringer. He will come, and when the red star bleeds and the darkness gathers, Azor Ahai shall be born again amidst smoke and salt to wake dragons out of stone. I mean, because there's still theories that Jon can still fulfill the prophecy by killing Daenerys. That's one of the theories.
Sure.
You know, but if that potentially Daenerys becomes the Mad Queen, we don't need to get into all that. But yeah, I guess it's interesting. I mean, because the show obviously plays fast and loose with it. It's not too many details as it is in the book. And I guess I always kind of read it as more someone who will kind of, bring balance to the force, if you will.
Sure, yeah. Some sort of Aragorn guy just showing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. No, the show doesn't give a shit about prophecies and stuff. And just the general feeling I've gotten these episodes, I guess, is what's led me to feel that this is not how it's going to go in the books. But Arya killing the Night King in itself, as I'm sure you would agree, and most of the people critiquing the show, it's not that strange.
Yeah.
And it even retrospectively makes a couple of things make sense for me. Like, for example, the God of Death must arguably be quite pissed at the Night King because he's evaded death for, I guess, millennia. And not only that, he's been resurrecting people, even if they're shells of their former selves, basically cheating death out of thousands and thousands of people. So then we have this girl, Arya, going to train to become an assassin. And it never made any fucking sense that they were just like, oh, you can go now. You're fine. You don't have to, like, give your soul to us. But then, like, what if this was the plan all along from the God of Death? Just let her go, make her fulfill her purpose. Like, that would add up. But I would have liked to see a bit more foreshadowing about that, if that's what we were going for.
Yeah, well, plus in the show, they're almost saying, like, the God of Death, they're using it in this episode as saying, like, the Night King's the God of Death in a way. Because that's why she's like, not today. Take this, God of Death. I'm killing you. I'm just saying it's kind of how the show like implies and how I've read people reading into it. I do want to just read this other question they had since it ties into kind of what we're talking about here. Do either of you feel as disappointed with how abruptly the Night King's threat was resolved this season given the years of buildup, or do you think this was sufficient? And yeah, I do kind of feel like it was, because I guess they did kind of tell us all we need to know about the Night King because we saw how he was created by the Forest Children, and the show's very fast and loose with the Forest Children. I'd be remiss if I acted like I knew a lot about them, except for they have pumpkin bombs, much like the Green Goblin, and they hung out with Bran for a while with the tree owl or whatever his name was. I guess we saw how he was created. We saw that Bran told us he just wanted to make night a thing forever. And he just wanted to bring death and destruction. So I guess people thinking that there was more to it, there's kind of your own bad in a weird way, because, you know, there's not much more to it. He's just death. Although, what about all those articles that were like, you know, the White Walkers represent climate change?
We're just going to kill it. We're going to kill climate change.
Yeah.
I've heard so many people say that like they need more motivation for the Night King, and I don't necessarily think people are wrong for feeling that way, but I've never felt that way personally because we know they were created, or he was created, by the Children of the Forest, who were doing that, and we know why, because humans were fucking everything up for them. Humans came over, like, the Children of the Forest, like, Westeros was theirs, as far as I remember, and the humans came over, started fucking everything up, so they created the Night King to kill the humans. But, like, much like, the Terminator, when you create, like, an artificial intelligence, it's gonna kill you. That's exactly what happened. It was not a surprise to me, but it still had, you know, they created it to be a murdering machine, and that's exactly what it's been doing, and a resurrecting machine as well. So I was never really confused on, like, what does the Night King even want, or anything like
that. Well, but I think the problem is, Game of Thrones, you know, whether it be the audience or just the presentation of the show, and, I mean, I guess to an extent, the books, it's supposed to be elevated fantasy, you know? It's not supposed to be your standard fare. Having the Night King just be a force of evil that doesn't speak is just fantasy, though. But I've always I've defended this show a lot, that people shouldn't try to look for it to be more than just standard fantasy and just kind of a Edgelord of the Rings, if you will. I get it both ways. I do feel like, you know, people watch this and because there are a lot of people, at least, you know, anecdotally, and I feel like it's a wider thing, where there are a lot of people who are like, oh, I don't like this stuff, but I like Game of Thrones, because it does have this feeling that there's something more to it, and maybe they're going to get into more character stuff. There's kind of a king who was a Night King who was promised, if you will, a prophecy. And just the way the show built around it, it felt maybe there was a little bit more mysterious and there was something more to it. And maybe once he, you know, tore down the wall and got more into Westeros, that things would, you know, there was going to be more to it. And maybe we're just wrong for thinking that. I don't blame people for thinking that. I also don't think you should be disappointed either, because I do get that at the end of the day, it can just be this force of evil that was defeated, and now we have to focus on our minor quibbles.
Yeah, and I think everything you're saying is also part of why some people have gone, well, they better finish off the Night King quick so we can get back to the good stuff. And essentially, I mean, that's kind of what they've done here, is like wrap that up because there's no more depth to it. So in a way, if the whole season had just been, let's band together and fight the zombies, it might not have left room for the type of, you know, character and conflict that we like to see in Game of Thrones. At the same time, I don't necessarily trust their ability to wrap it up in an even more satisfying way, because the Night King is obviously a better villain than Cersei. Like, I'm never gonna buy Cersei as a legitimate threat. Yes, I know their army's decimated and she rented the things and whatever, but like, they still got dragons, and Cersei doesn't even have elephants, as she keeps going on about. So like, I feel like it should be fine. And it's very obvious that episode 5 apparently is gonna be a big battle, but is it gonna be a big battle of everyone we like against Cersei? Because that's almost as black and white as what we just saw anyway. Yeah. Or is it going to be Jon versus Daenerys? I don't know.
Yeah. And one thing I should say, I have seen that sentiment a bit where people are like, you know, it's good. Get rid of the Night King. Let's get to the good. Let's get back to the human stuff. I don't think that's the right angle either. I don't think people that wanted it, you know, people that wanted to have, because this is still a show with dragons. This is still a show where people wear other people's faces. Like, the White Walkers weren't the only fantastical element here. So I think that's kind of wrong to shame people for wanting more from the Night King.
Sure.
But I think the easiest solution for this, and I mean, I'm armchair show running here, but it really felt like, last season, this should have been the finale of last season. They should have just had that. Would have been more interesting to me. So it would there wouldn't have been this weird promise that everything was going to kind of come together. It could have just wrapped it up, and now you could have dealt more with the character stuff and everything like that. Because it just feels like they just built it over and over. Like, it was always this. Okay, everyone's worried about who's going to be on the throne, but meanwhile, Doomsday is coming. This stuff is happening in the background, these giant armies, this stuff that people aren't properly paying attention to. And I don't know. This is all shit you heard before. I get it. This is all complaints that people have heard. And to be fair, there still is 3 episodes left. They could still use weird Bran to explain some stuff away and maybe make it a little bit more satisfying, because I feel like, what is the point of Bran now? I guess we'll find out.
No, Jim, what was ever the point of Bran? Like, I know that I might seem like, hey, everything's great and dandy, but like, I have so many nits to pick with this episode, and let's start with Bran and his needless, like, existence. Like, yes, okay, he's gonna draw the Night King, I guess, we found out last episode. And maybe, as everyone has said, after watching it, not during it, but after, they were like, oh, he was warging to attract the Night King to him.
I had no idea what he was doing. And yeah, again, going back to stuff on paper, because the point when he just goes, I have to go now, and then, bye, Theon, I have to, and he just starts warging. I totally thought, because then they have that moment where Jon gets saved by the dragon, and I'm like, oh, fuck, Bran warged into a dragon. That's fucking cool. And I mean, it was Daenerys, so it was still a cool save. But how cool would it have been if they at least had him doing something in the moment to bring out the Night King, you know?
I feel like I was saying this shit as well when they were north of the wall last season, and like, they were totally fucked and there was no way out. Maybe Bran could have warged into something and like a big monster and you know, fuck shit up. But here it would have been even more appropriate if he was, you know, resting control of an ice giant or whatever, and like, you see their eye color change and it's like, holy shit. Or literally anything. Like, if he'd done anything at all, because that's the stereotype on Bran, that he's just like useless, just does nothing ever, and he doesn't have any expression. He said a nice thing to Theon. Okay, that's it. That's all you did, Bran. You have superpowers. You're supposedly the counterbalance to the Night King. And you, like, did you see the shit he did? Did you see what the Night King did? Like, all that stuff? Maybe you could have done, I don't know, literally anything.
Yeah. I mean, I was even, I think in the moment, I was even hoping, like, oh, maybe those crows are going to show up at Cersei's room. Hey, it's me, I'm Bran. We're coming for you.
It's also like the way it's shot of like Theon is there nearly dying, everyone else is dying, they're all protecting Bran, and they keep cutting to him like with his wargy eyes, and it's like, Bran better fucking do something cool. And I literally said that out loud watching this for the first time.
Yeah. And even like the way they bring in Melisandre. It was, like, just shows up out of the darkness. I was like, oh, she's working with the what, Night King now? Because she literally just came over from where they were. And she doesn't, people were, I saw, you know, people, Yas Queen and Melisandre on Twitter. I didn't think she did anything cool, honestly.
Yas Queen. Now, okay, I didn't mind the way she showed up, but I am pretty disappointed that she didn't, to me, fill a function in any of this. Like, the only important thing she did was reminding Arya that she was an assassin, kind of. Like, that was, that's the thing people have said. And if, like, this is supposed to be such an important pivotal moment in, like, this universe, and Bran can see the past and the future, and Melisandre can see the fucking future, and, like, if there was something, like, she had to come there to give, even if it was something as stupid as, like, putting her hand on Arya and making her fucking invisible or, like, half invisible or whatever, even that, it's like, oh, give the final push needed to make this happen. It would have made so much more sense. But instead, she lights swords on fire, and then everyone who got that just died. And then she lights a trench on fire, and that gets passed in 3 seconds. And that's it. That's what she did. And it's pretty disappointing because it feels like it would have been so simple to make her do something actually cool and useful after, like, you know, murdering children in the past. She didn't really counterbalance that.
Well, that's what I mean, because they've kind of set up that, like, her things work when it's convenient. There's really no rhyme or reason. Like, you know, they would play around with she's a priestess that could potentially be losing her faith in a weird way because things are not working out. Because literally when she's with Stannis, almost everything she did was wrong for the most part. I mean, I guess she threw the leeches in the fire and then Joffrey died. And she's like, see? See what happened? And then, yeah, I mean, of course, the whole Stannis failure, and I guess they blame it on Davos because he made a send her away before the Battle of Blackwater. But I don't know. Like, at the end, I'm not like, oh, she's right. No, I guess she can make things turn to fire. She was there to bring Jon Snow back. Like, am I supposed to believe in the Lord of Light when he's been so inconsistent, at least through Melisandre here? And again, I feel like you should have an issue with the way she just shows up in the back, the way she just walks out of the darkness. You shouldn't let that pass.
Okay, well, I will. The rest of the stuff, yes, I see where you're coming from. And just as far as the structure of the episode, because people have complained about how Arya just suddenly appears there, and, like, she's literally there, and she's saying, like, oh, this guy just died to get you to this room, and then maybe I could do something to get you to the next room, and, like, all these things coming together to make this happen. There are aspects of that with Bran giving her the Valyrian steel dagger last season that she uses and all of that, but it could have been present here to give it more of a trajectory to make it feel more satisfying in the end.
Yeah, no, because I don't feel like it was satisfying at all. Like, it felt a little too thrown together with, was it Beric? Yeah, with Beric's Christ-like death, the way he just puts his hands up in the hallway and gets stabbed in the back a bunch of times, but then runs again and gets stabbed in the back a bunch more times. And, I mean, it's a cool callback to her, you know, green eyes, blue eyes, brown eyes, whatever, but it doesn't resonate to me in that moment. And especially, I mean, I had an issue with Arya through most of this episode. I don't have an issue with her killing the Night King, but she's wrecking dudes at one point in a hallway, like wrecking dudes like nothing. And then she's scared in another room. But I'm not worried about Arya at all, because I just saw her take out like 10 zombies by herself. And then in the post show with D&D, they do say, well, then she bumped her head. That's why she starts second guessing her, her skills. And I'm like, that does not come across in the episode whatsoever. Yeah, I guess it's good that you say that now, but I did not pick that up.
Yeah, that's exactly in my notes because, like, that could work. She does hit, like, I rewatched it after seeing that as well, and I was like, okay, yeah, she does smack her head, and then she does look at the whites all scared, but, like, I know it would be a cheesy thing, but you could literally fix that by just throwing a blurry filter when she's looking at the...
I was going to say the same thing.
And it would make so much sense. Yeah. And then have her stagger a bit more in the next scene, like, because I didn't pick that up either, and then we head into this horror movie thing, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? And, like, for me personally, the biggest problem, how silent it was. It didn't make any sense. You're in it, there's the biggest battle ever outside, hundreds of thousands of people murdering each other, and it's, like, total silence. There's this thing, I don't know if it's the same thing we call it in English, but, like, the smallest detectable sound or the smallest hearable sound, when you're designing sound for a scene, you can tell how loud or quiet it's supposed to be by how much you can hear something. Like, if there's a song playing and someone's going, and like, moving their lips and you can't hear them, then it indicates that the song is really loud. But if their song's playing and they're shouting and you can hear them shouting, then you know the song is not that loud. Pretty simple stuff. Yeah. And if you hear a pin drop... And it's like, yeah, it's a super quiet room. And, like, her blood dripping onto the stones is, like, the loudest thing ever. Yeah. And I'm like, none of this makes any sense. Why is she hiding? Why is she, like, and, yes, I'm done.
Yeah, no, okay. Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I get it was supposed to be a tense situation. And then later when she, like, gets behind the door and then a huge army comes and then another one, like, coming from other hallways and she's running... Like, yeah, that felt more dangerous. It's just it didn't feel tense or dangerous at all to me because, like I said, she was wrecking dudes not too long ago. So, and then, I mean, you could definitely argue. I know we're jumping around a bit. I didn't think of and then someone brought up because, I mean, everyone brought up, how'd she even sneak by? There was a whole army of the dead, like, waiting around the Night King before she kind of lunges on him. Mm-hmm. And that wouldn't... it wouldn't stand out as much as just if the other stuff was kind of executed a little better, in my opinion. It would have been a minor, she snuck through. But it's just because a bunch of these things in execution were weird. Now it's like, oh, and she also just sneaks by other, you know, White Walkers and zombies or whites, whatever you want to call them. And then the one thing I didn't think of is doesn't the Night King's touch supposed to have, like, a weird thing? Like, why didn't she just turn into, like, when he touches the baby... Doesn't that make the baby just turn into a White Walker?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he catches her by the throat. And I will say that was a moment where I was like, oh, shit, Arya's going to die. Like, they did get me for a second. But, I mean, I guess based on the show lore, shouldn't his touch mean more? Like, just him touching Bran in a vision, you know, put his mark. I mean, maybe that's something they'll explore. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, some people have said, like, ah, Arya's going to be the new Night King. I don't think so. I think it's a great question, actually. But I think the whole touching a baby, turning it into a White Walker isn't... I think that's something you got to switch on. You know, there's a White Walker tap, like, because otherwise anyone he touches is going to be that. But then, of course, who the fuck would he be touching up north?
If anyone has the Midas touch of death, I would assume it's the Night King. I mean, because it's not like we see him touching people all the time.
I feel like if he hadn't died right afterwards, just touching her would be enough to kill her, you know? But then he does die immediately afterwards.
Although then sorry to cut you off, but I guess if that was the case, maybe you do the old, like, you know, she starts to turn and then she stabs, but I don't know, whatever. This is all armchair shit. Who cares?
Well, it is tagline for this podcast. Fuck it. And then, of course, as Matthias says in the chat, he shattered into a million pieces, and he's going to return as a million tiny Night Kings. I feel like that's really the only possible solution here.
Yeah, let's get into a little bit more of some of these emails, since we're kind of not quite going beat by beat. Because here's a good point I just kind of want to get into anyways. I found myself shocked at the lack of death in episode 3. I know this is an odd thing to take issue with, but I expected more named characters to meet their end. Did you have the same feeling, or do you think they may be saving deaths from the inevitable battle at King's Landing? One comment on that is I don't care if people don't die. I do feel like, in a weird way, this retroactively takes some points away from episode two a little bit, because it felt like we were really getting into something. And I don't need these characters to die. It's fine that they lived. The problem is when they're all in their protected little groups against a wall fighting off an army, and it doesn't feel like there's a threat. When every time we cut over and Brienne and Jaime are like almost overrun, and then we cut away and then we cut back and it's just like them and one zombie. Like, I just feel like if they executed a little better where it felt like there was danger, it would have been fine. I'm fine if they survive. I don't care about that. It just felt very lazy where it's like, oh, they're the main characters fighting, and here's all the, you know, here's all the other people that are going to die, all the red shirts that are going to die.
Well, Dolores Ed lives in my heart, so I am devastated that he died. That's the Night's Watch guy.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I heard people saying that like more people should have died, and I was actually fine. Like, as the guy who like famously goes, "Let's kill this character," I'm still like okay with what it is right now. And again, at the end of the season, I might look at all of this and go, well, I hate everything about Game of Thrones ever. Like, that is a distinct possibility. Right now, it's fine. Like the email suggested, they could be saving stuff. I hope they are. A few characters died. I didn't really need anyone else to. If a few more had died, I wouldn't have minded that either. I'm cool with it.
Yeah, but I still think there's an... It's similar to on your video when you bring up, like, the fake-outs. Like, this
yeah,
is...
that's fair.
Tormund almost getting pulled into the water and then not. Like... my only problem, because I'm completely with you, my only problem is just the constant cutbacks to people on the front line that were never in danger. It just felt like they could have gotten it across more. Like, there could have been cooler character moments, I guess, of like, oh no, and then, you know, you do something cool or someone comes out and saves you. I mean, especially even Sam, like... I remember when we were talking in the about the first episode with our deaths list, and I was like, "Oh, Sam would be devastating," but now it's like, "No, I want him to die." Like when Ed dies for him and he runs away crying, like,
yeah, so
do I. He could have at least done a cool move or something, and it was comical the way they were just constantly at a brick wall. And even like Podrick's fighting off 50 guys against a brick wall. And then, I mean, there's that great, it's a memeable moment of when Jon Snow's running through and he looks back and sees Sam like about to die, but he's not going to die, you know, like, and yeah. He's like, you know, sorry, dude, more shit going on than you.
Well, Jon knows he's not going to die, so he just, and then I think at some point with all that fighting, like, everyone's fighting stuff out, like insane amounts of zombies, and they cut to Sam, and he's just sniffling in, like, a pile of corpses, like, and no one's even attacking him, they must assume he's dead or something, I don't even know, so Sam didn't do great, to be honest, and he probably should have been in the crypts, not that that would have helped much either, necessarily. As literally everyone predicted on the planet, except everyone in this episode. And that actually brings me to my main quibble with this episode, Jim. I don't know if you know. We've been complaining a lot about Tyrion being a dummy. We can no longer complain about Tyrion being a dummy because everyone in this world, this Game of Thrones world, is a fucking idiot. Everything, like none of the decisions that anyone made any sense at all. I don't know much. Like, I don't know much about medieval warfare, but I know what I like. And none of this makes any sense. The whole battle plan, the whole plan in general, everything that happens... It didn't feel right to me. And that was basically what I was thinking through the first, you know, 80% of the episode or whatever, or maybe 50%, that, you know, just, again, maybe someone would pop out and go, actually, this makes perfect sense because of this and that. But to me, it didn't feel right when you have the Dothraki all rush off. And I'm like, why are they even outside the walls? Are they not, like, protecting this thing? Maybe they're trying to draw in the Night King or something, but, like, let's all rush off. And even just, I know that the Dothraki like to do this, but even just galloping at full speed is going to tire out your horses. You can't see what's in front of you. I guess he got the fire swords, but like, who even gave the command? Like, yeah. Was anyone commanding that? Was that a spontaneous thing? And then Jorah's with them as well, and I'm... Who's decided that this would happen?
Well,
they all died.
Let me cut into your A-plus rant right now, just to tie it in, because again, we got a few emails, so I like to sprinkle it in, from Jake Sprague here. There's so much to say about this episode of Game of Thrones. My biggest complaint was that it didn't feel like Game of Thrones. It felt like something out of another show. But I'd rather talk about the battle plan to save Winterfell. What the fuck was their plan? Okay, let me get this straight. The Dothraki horde was going to charge in the army of the dead, even without their swords being lit on fire? It was clear they intended to ride headfirst into waves of undead. Why? This would clearly get them killed and converted into their army. And I'm not saying something that everyone doesn't know, so what's the plan? Especially given that they couldn't see that far anyway. No matter what, it was clear they were sent to die. Confusing. So then the rest of the army waits in front of their fire trench so that they could die and then use the fire trench? Why would they try this fire trench? Why wouldn't they try this fire trench first so all these people didn't have to get mowed down before using something that might drastically stop the enemy army? Because remember when the army of the dead reached the fire trench? They had to hang out for a hot minute, pun intended, and make a bridge. This would be a really great time to bombard them with dragons and fire arrows and catapults and shit. Instead, most of the people that could do that stuff were already dead. Wild.
Let's get back into that email for a second. Great points, Jake. One of my other main quibbles is the trebuchets or catapults, whatever the fuck they are. You never, and again, I don't know much, who am I, but do you ever put those at the very, very front and go like, let's use them once, and then just like never, we don't need those again? I know people have said, oh, there wouldn't be room inside the walls, but like, put them at the back. They throw things pretty far, and what are you going to go, they're too far away to hit? Don't worry, they're going to come at you. They are definitely going to come at you, and they're going to be real close real soon.
Well, and also, going back to D&D in the post show, they do mention, they're like, so then when the Dothraki are killed, Dany goes against the plan. Because they do have that moment where Jon like goes to stop her. But again, we don't know the plan, so we don't even know that what Daenerys is doing is going against the plan. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And we kind of know that, like, I think what they're referring to is that they're going to wait until the Night King shows himself and like goes after Bran, and then the both of them are going to go after the Night King. But like, that's a bad plan.
Yeah.
That plan is not good. Why are you doing that? Like, because the thing is, Bran is going to draw him to the Godswood, but like, he's never going to get to the Godswood without, you know, the waves and waves of undead attacking as well, right?
Or at the very least, you're going to see a dragon flying in. Like, you know, either way, even if you, let's say you don't use the dragons to light up the darkness, because I'll give it to him. It's fair to think they've already lost a dragon. You don't want to be too, you know, fast and loose with the dragons in case the Night King's laying in wait to throw another spear through one or whatever. But maybe you could shoot a couple fireballs into the darkness and it might light it up a little bit so you know what's going on out there. I don't know. That's just me. I'm no Jon Snow.
Can we get a bit more of that email? Because it's very,
okay, so then there's the crypts. The safest place is the crypts. You know what place is safe? The crypts, my guy. Hey, everyone, let's head down to the crypts. Why? Because it's safe, you knucklehead. No one thinks the crypts are safe, so why would the characters in the show? Why would no one mention that the crypts are full of dead people and the Night King makes dead people get up and fight? This isn't some secret only Bran knows. Lots of people know how the Night King works. This makes no sense. It feels like something out of another show that is dumb where people do dumb stuff all the time.
No, Jake, that's this show. Have you not been watching the past couple of seasons?
Yeah. And, okay, so then the plan is to draw the Night King to Bran. Why? Who was supposed to kill him? It's so unclear. Was Theon really in charge of killing that dude? Also, why all the fire arrows in a point-blank range fight near a tree? Why? Why were there only, like, 11 guys with Bran?
I suppose that was like Jon was gonna swoop in or whatever. Yeah. Like that was the plan, but you know,
but the thing,
that
they,
didn't really work.
I feel like they should have, when they had that plan moment. I know they did say Bran's gonna be there as bait, or Bran, you know, volunteered to be bait. They should have done like an Ocean's 11. Well, I guess Ocean's 11, they don't lay out the plan. Maybe a Charlie's Angels where they lay out the plan. They should have done something like that because, yeah, in retrospect, I realized that's why Jon Snow was hanging out doing shit the whole time because he was kind of keeping an eye on the Night's Wood, I guess.
The Godswood,
I'm sorry, for the Night King to show up. But that was not clear when things were happening. Also, why didn't they have a plan for the undead climbing up the castle walls? Drop some shit on their heads or something. Also, what are people doing in the crypt anyways? If they lose the battle, they're just going to open the door and eat them. So get out of there. If you really can't do anything, then just leave Winterfell. And this isn't about the terrible plan, but how is the Night King so good? He can grab someone he doesn't even see by the neck in midair, but he can't stop a knife that he sees following? Anyways, this show is great, but the episode was rough.
Yeah, especially the part about they don't have a plan for people or undead climbing the wall. Like, I felt like everyone should have kind of been inside the walls to begin with. But then when they eventually retreat, there's a lot of shouting of, like, man the walls.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think that could maybe be explained away, but watching it, I'm like, what were you doing previously? Like, what was the plan? I get, okay, someone said that it, technically what they mean is like, okay, enough with the archers, let's get fighting men up there. But surely they know that anyone killed can be resurrected unless their bodies are burned. So that's why they got the trench in that. Got that. Makes sense. The like 2 to 12 people who laid down and became a bridge, those guys can't be resurrected. Great job. Is there anything else we could do with fire against these creatures? Yeah. Or they're all going to come back otherwise? Maybe we can, I don't know, throw fire down at them or something? Is that a thing we could do, Jim? Do we have the technology? Because it would have been better than doing literally nothing to stop it, which is what they did.
Well, plus they've shown us in other Game of Thrones battles that they've had plans for being on a wall and dropping things on people's head. Like, we've seen this on Game of Thrones, whether it be the giant wall when they actually had like that cool thing to like drop, like an anchor thing that just like wiped them off, like a windshield wiper that wiped them from climbing.
Right.
Or in like the battle for Blackwater. Yeah, they're like dropping hot oil and shit on people or something. I remember they had stuff. So I was waiting for them, at least if they showed they were doing that a little bit, but obviously this is such a, you know, vast army that it doesn't fully work. They could still get up there. It did just feel like, all right, fuck, we got to fight them. Let me read some stuff from Jonathan here. He sent an email as well. He also wrote, he pointed out some good stuff, which is good, because maybe we do need to focus on some of the good stuff here.
Sure.
The first 15 minutes had great atmosphere, Sam being scared and everyone preparing for battle, and seeing the Dothraki cavalry charge ahead into the night, and then seeing in the distance all their swords are quickly extinguished. Even though, yes, we're talking about it tactically, we didn't get what was going on, it was a cool visual.
Great.
With the and it, but it's, again, it just it puts Melisandre in like a worse position because her cool thing is just for this cool visual. It doesn't come off as a cool thing.
Well, at least the trench worked.
Yeah. It was heartwarming that the Hound forgot about his fear of fire because he wanted to save Arya. Production quality was great. The acting, choreography, sound effects, etc. I'd argue a little bit with that because I feel like this is probably one of the, in my opinion, in comparison to battle episodes of Game of Thrones, it's towards the bottom. I get what they were doing. A lot of people complained about how dark it was. I didn't really have a complaint on that. I get what they're doing with the frantic editing because you're trying to put people in the mix, and that's like the craziness of battle, but I don't feel like it worked well, especially when the dragons are fighting and I keep rewinding it because I don't know what the fuck is going on. I couldn't follow what was what.
A quick note on the darkness thing. I've heard a lot of people complain about it, and I first watched it in total darkness on a pretty good TV, and I didn't have that much trouble with it, and the chaotic aspects were sort of like they worked for me in the way they were supposed to. And then I tried to watch it on my laptop, and I was like, I cannot see what is. I cannot, like, the fight's not even started. I can't see anything. I went into VLC, change the settings and increase the contrast, and I was like, oh shit, it's like I can see stuff again. Like, this episode looks great now that I've literally, you know, color corrected it.
Yeah, and I mean, the cinematographer spoke on that, was kind of a douche about it.
Okay.
what did he say? He's like, it wasn't too dark. I know because I lit it or something like that. And then, yeah, a lot of the problem is that a lot of people don't know how to tune their TVs properly. A lot of people also, unfortunately, watch it on small iPads, which in no way can do justice to a show like that anyway. And I get what he's saying, but also, you know, you're not making something for the cinema. I get that it's not TV, it's HBO, but not that you should cater to someone watching on an iPad. They're wrong, too. But there's enough complaints here. There's shit going on. You should have accounted for some of these things.
There's also even people who have like the highest quality TVs and got it all set properly. They've watched it, you know, from HBO, and like the stream quality just isn't enough. When the difference, like, because basically, as far as I saw it, just I haven't checked it, but like it feels like the upper range of brightness is just cut off. And then it's very impactful when like the dragons come in, because then all of a sudden you have the correct range from black to extreme brightness. Yeah. But the rest of it is so low. And like the stream is not going to be able to give all the contrast in that range that you kind of need to be able to see it. So obviously when I adjusted things manually, it kind of looked like shit because because it's all compressed.
Yeah.
And people are saying that, oh, when we get it on Blu-ray, it'll be great. And I'm like, oh, fantastic. But
you could say that about anything. And I get like they shouldn't be, you know, basing their filmmaking on compression. But I don't know. Clearly, they kind of went a little too far, in my opinion. I get you're an artiste, you are a cinematographer, and you know a lot of shit. But just take the L on this one. He also does say, I actually think it was good that the Army of the Dead was defeated in this episode. It makes the rest of the season more interesting. I'll admit there's definitely potential. But I feel like it makes the rest of the show, as in the stuff before this, maybe a little less interesting. Because it wasn't quite a satisfying conclusion, in my opinion, to this long buildup.
Though my argument that it's not necessarily something I feel in my heart, but I think it sounds good. My argument would be that this show has always been about building someone up and making you think they're going to do big shit and then just killing them off. And it's usually been good guys. And this time it was one of the bad guys, which has barely ever happened before.
Well,
usually the bad guys have extensive armor, like plot armor. And this time it was the other way around.
I think that's all well and good, though, when you have, and again, we're speaking before we see where it goes, but you don't have a lot of time to make up for it. And some of those other things, because in the grand scheme of things, on paper, you know what this was, is we watched a whole, seven seasons of build-up of Daenerys, you know, coming to power and building the world's largest army. And then we watched seven seasons of small background buildup of this huge threat. And all that, they all came together so that he could cut her army down and it wouldn't be this insane, defeat of Cersei. Like, in the end of the day, that's all it was. It's the same as blowing up the King's Landing church to just wipe all those characters out and like, okay, now we can finish it up. I don't feel like there's a lot of grace there in something where like when you think what's Jon Snow's brother's name that was killed? Rob Stark. There's a different grace of Rob Stark's this main character and then they kill him. But all along, it's like, no, we had Jon Snow waiting in the wings. You didn't realize that Jon Snow is actually where we're at. Or even with, you know, Ned Stark in season one. Maybe there is something in the back pocket like, oh, you didn't know that the actual Night King is the Mountain all along.
Yeah, and if the rest of the season is like 90% about fighting Cersei, I'll be so annoyed because I've never like been able to see that, given how the show's portrayed it with so many characters weighing over to the other side. And I know that shouldn't be an indication, but it's like she is practically as evil as the Night King, so it wouldn't add any new intrigue or dimensionality to it. Like, is Braun going to show up? Like, if the next episode opens with Braun shooting Jamie in the chest with that crossbow, I'd be like, holy shit. There's still things they could do that would really sort of, you know, raise the stakes in its own way, but I completely see where you're coming from.
I mean, we can all agree that it'll end with Jon Snow on the throne, and then everyone is happy, and it's all like, ah, finally, it's all great. And then he gets up from the throne, he goes into his quarters, and he takes his face off, and it's Arya.
I mean, that sounds actually about right.
Well, we can all agree that whoever ends up on the throne takes their face off in its Arya.
Yeah.
And I guess one other thing, this is somewhat related, because again, if we're going into like speculation mode, what this means and where it's going, reading a little bit about George R. R. Martin and like him talking about Tolkien and like Lord of the Rings and how he's more, because this is kind of in defense of wrapping up the Night King to get into other things, is that, you know, in the movies, in Lord of the Rings movies, they didn't show, like, how what the Shire gets ransacked by people or something after they've defeated Sauron or the leftover orcs, and how the books have more of the what the outcome is.
Yeah.
And that's what George is interested in. And so if the show's in that fashion, wouldn't it kind of lend itself to this type of stuff gets wrapped up by episode 5, and then episode 6 is like a weird time jump or the fallout? Like, this can't just end with someone getting on the throne and like Aragorn getting on the throne and everyone bows down to him and everyone lives happily after ever after. It would feel like we'd have to wrap things up and then see the fallout at least in one episode, right?
Yes, I would hope so, but yeah, I mean, with the length of the episodes, it feels like it does I was pretty wrong about some of it, I think, but what I said previously. But now I feel like episode 5, the big battle, is going to be with Cersei, because we're going to have episode 4 to build up to that, and then episode 5, another big battle. And,
well, I feel a common theory is that we won't see a big battle. Is that because they've been hyping the amount of work and everything they put into this one, like, at least like the producers, the way they've talked about it was X amount of days and X amount of night shoots and all the, you know, the logistics that went into it, and they haven't talked about anything else. And to them, this was this epic battle. Do you think they even try to top it, or it becomes there's a swerve coming and it's not this big battle for the throne in King's Landing?
No, I think there's a big battle. But like they can say that shit, but because I who was it? I think, and this is kind of hearsay, but I think Emilia Clarke was like in a tweet or something, and I don't even remember if I'm saying this right. Got a fever, don't blame me. But like saying that, oh, you thought this episode was big? Wait for episode 5 and make sure you have a big TV or whatever. And I'm like, well, that doesn't mean you're all gonna have tea in that episode, are you?
Yeah.
So they gotta clean up Cersei. There's no way they're defeating Cersei next episode, which is fair enough, because we do want to deal with the fallout and everything. Feels like, yeah, maybe wrap that up in the penultimate episode, and hopefully the last episode is a really long one dealing with consequences and such.
It'd be great if, like, the next episode they just kill Cersei.
Yeah, I would love that, actually.
Because then all the people that are like, why you care about the Night King? Who cares? Let's get to the human conflict, and then they just kill Cersei. I'm like, yeah, why you care about Cersei? She's a dumb bitch anyways.
Well, my hope was, and kind of is, that they gotta make it about Jon versus Daenerys, but it's like, the way they act, it doesn't feel like it would, but how, like, that would fulfill the promise of Game of Thrones more than anything if that was the ultimate conflict at the end rather than them pulling together, especially now that they don't have this common enemy. But I feel like it's not going to be that. But I do hope it will be.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of interesting takeaways. I mean, I guess the beginning was the build up was pretty good. I don't like Melisandre coming out of the darkness. It was a bum out to see Ed die. How is Grey Worm alive? I feel like I saw Grey Worm die like a few times because with the quick editing, I was like, ah, damn, they got him. I'm trying to just skim through in case there's anything we missed. I think Jonathan mentions it in his not so great stuff, and I've seen a lot of people think this. A lot of people did think that Tyrion and Sansa were maybe going to kill themselves in that scene. I didn't quite get that, but I like looking at it now with people picking that up, I guess I kind of see where they're coming from.
Yeah, I can see that. They did rush out, which was like, oh, maybe potential suicide mission. I did feel like it was pretty disappointing not to have them do anything useful. Tyrion does complain that, oh, if we were out there, we could see something that no one else did and we could help. And then it's like, well, the battle just came to you.
Yeah.
Maybe you could do something cool now, Tyrion, like you haven't done for four seasons. Like, maybe you could do something to start making up for all the stupid things you've done that never made any sense and that I can't completely blame you for because it seemed so out of character. And also Sansa, who's, you know, this great leader, you got all these people down in the crypts and you're just going to cower behind some tombstone. Maybe there was a cutout scene of them kicking ass. I don't know.
And like that scene too, like it was in the moment, it felt like, oh shit, like they're the only ones left. But then they like sneak over to another corner and there's a bunch of like Varys is there and a bunch of other people like, yeah, fuck, we're hiding too. Letting everyone die as well. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I do want to point out going back to Noah's email on episode 2 where that we read in our last discussion. His number 5 point was, here's 100% confirmed who dies next episode. Literally everyone who doesn't actually matter, a.k.a. everyone hanging out in that room when Podrick sang his song. I do believe that every one of those people is still alive. So take that, Noah. Yeah.
Yes. And despite me saying, oh, we didn't need more deaths, like, this episode would probably have felt pretty different if all those characters died, you know?
but yeah, I mean, the thing is, I guess... yeah, that's the other thing. Not that I care that if they die or not, but there should be a reason that Podrick's around, I suppose. You know, is he going to serve a purpose? Guess we'll see. I mean, it was clear, although it would have been the most Game of Thrones ever to finally just kill the Hound off and not give us the Hound versus the Mountain. I kind of would have enjoyed that a little bit, but... when I saw him, I'm like, there's no way he's going to die because we need to see the Hound versus the Mountain. Or at the very end, they just won't give us the Hound versus the Mountain.
I don't give a shit about the Hound versus the
Mountain. I kind of don't care either. That's why I'm all right with him just dying and everyone being like, oh, man, we want Clegane Bowl or whatever.
Yeah. Let's, to mention some positive stuff, I mean, Theon, as I think you've mentioned, very underrated sort of part of the show. Like, his acting is brilliant and just, like, there were bits, like, his arc is now complete. Theon is done.
Yeah.
And I think it was a great ending for him as well, especially getting that pat on the back from emotionless Bran. Like, I almost also felt like that was... we actually saw some of Bran there because there's no reason to do, like, he's a robot, obviously. But like, there's no reason a robot would do that. Would that make a difference? It felt like maybe some Bran in there. And I would have liked as well if after the Night King can smile. The Night King can smile, but Bran cannot smile. Yeah. What's the deal with that? Because, like, after the Night King is murdered and they achieve everything they wanted, they show a shot of Bran, and he's still got the same expressionless face. They couldn't give him a slight, like, little twitch of the lip or anything, but I did appreciate what he did for Theon. Theon, in that scene, like, I... just from the way he was kicking ass, I just knew he's gonna die, but I still fucking loved seeing him kick ass. Everything he's been through, and I was pretty critical of his, like, storyline in parts of the seasons and everything, but, like, so amazing to see him go out this way.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of wish he didn't just, you know, run into his own death. I wish it was maybe a little bit more, but that's just a nitpick. Otherwise I'm in complete agreement. What was the other thing? It was a cool moment. It was a nice when Jon's about to, you know, run down the Night King and then he starts bringing up all the dead around him. That was a cool moment to see. I do wish Jon had something better to do than just stand up and yell at the dragon. It would have been, I mean, I guess they don't want to take away from Arya's moment by having him slay the dragon, but it would have been fucking cool if he slayed the dragon, right?
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Because he could still just be fighting the dragon and maybe slay it in the moment, but then, like, you know, at the same time, Arya kills the Night King. But again, I guess that would maybe take away some of her shine, so I understand. But he still could have done something better than just standing up and being like, oh, fuck it! Who cares? I loved seeing Lady Little Mormont die. I got a lot of glee out of watching her. I laughed really hard when she just got smashed to the side by the giant. I'll even allow them giving her unrealistic kill, the old you know, the friggin' who's what's the famous giant that was killed by the little guy? Why am I spacing on my biblical references?
Oh, look, that's not my area of expertise. Someone in the chat, let us know. Yes. But yes, one of the littlest people killing one of the biggest people.
I mean, I'll forgive that just because I enjoyed watching her die. And maybe that's, you know, sadistic or what have you.
I mean, yes, it is.
She's an annoying character. And if she lived, it would have been even more annoying. So it was kind of fun. I mean, I guess what? He was going to eat her? That's why he brought her up to give her the kill shot? David and Goliath. That's what I was looking for. I spaced on that. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, that is not just sadistic. It's chauvinistic, Jim, and it shows you are part of the problem, not the solution. But it was still cool. I liked it for similar reasons. It was just pretty... Yeah, I enjoyed that. I did enjoy that. So, is that it? Is that everything? Do we have more...
Would it been better or worse if the Night King flew to King's Landing and then finally spoke? Like, he walked up to Cersei... And then bent the knee and was like, I serve you, my lady.
Whoa, that would have been fucking
what a
stupid.
Twist. Although that someone pointed out, what if in that moment, the Night King walks up to Bran, but then he bends the knee to Bran? That would have been cool.
Yeah, I almost thought something different was going to happen there. Like when he walks up, he's clearly going to kill Bran. But I was almost like, shit, is it? Were they right about the Night King being Bran? Because they've like never been like in the same place. I thought maybe something would happen. And I know we've said this already about Bran being useless, but like he also can time travel. He can go back in time and change stuff, and he can warg into stuff. so yeah, he just still just sat there. So I thought when they were face to face that something would actually go down other than just the whole murder thing. Yeah. And maybe that would bring some light to, you know, the Night King, what, you know, his motivations and things like that that a lot of people would want to know.
Shout outs to Jorah. We didn't even talk about his death, but I mean, another decent arc. It's a point that makes sense for it to end. He died protecting his queen. That wasn't bad, I don't think.
Yeah, I would agree. And let's see who else died. There was a couple, right?
Or I mean, Melisandre at the end. That was a cool visual, at least. It's still, you know, maybe... I mean, maybe she could have stayed alive a little longer, though. Although I guess she doesn't care about who sits on the throne. So I guess that doesn't make sense. It was all about this. My only problem is just the build of this character, because... she was almost always wrong all the time, so why do I believe in you or think this is a noble thing for you to do? You finally just happened to be there when things went well.
Yes, that's, again, I really would have liked if she'd had an effect, like maybe taking her little red necklace thing and like gave it to Arya, and she turns old and Arya can somehow use that to sneak past or something like that. But hey, what you gonna do?
I mean, I did tweet... and it should have blown up, is a Simpsons reference when Leonard Nimoy is on the episode with the monorail, and then he goes, my work here is done. And then they go, you didn't do anything. And he goes, didn't I? And then he beams up, because I feel like that's what it was. I mean, she kind of did stuff, but not really. So see you later. See you later, Melisandre.
Yeah. And so, in general, on the episode, I'm actually fairly positive, even with my... Well, I have a lot of nitpicks about how the battle went down, but rewatching it with, you know, the brightness turned up, I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And there's a lot of cool stuff in there. And in general, about the death of the Night King, I felt more like... excited and scared about what's next. Like, rather than being sad that this was over, I was like, I am hyped and super scared about what's going to happen next. So all we can do now is wait.
I mean, that's a cool outlook to have. I saw someone on Twitter say, literally anything can happen now. And I don't think that's true. I feel like we know what's going to happen next. They're going to go and take on Cersei. And then once they take on Cersei, it's going to be Jon versus Dany. So maybe that's a pessimistic, I'm taking the air out of your tires right now. You just said how excited you were. but in my opinion, it's like, no, we already know. We'll see.
No, you're right. I mean, that's very likely. I mean, excited and scared in the sense of scared they're going to fuck this up. Excited if they get it right. That's, you know, what I guess we'll see. It feels like, I don't know. I really don't know at this point, Jim. I might come back and hate this episode more than you at the end of the season. Hey, if you want to hate this episode more than us, you can send us an email at showswhatyouknowshow@gmail.com. We'll read it out next time. Make sure you send it right after episode 4. It is coming up real quick now. And just check out showswhatyouknow.com for all of our episodes. What else, Jim?
Well, I do want to make a promise that I'm not trying. I don't want to be... I hope when we're talking about episode 4... I don't want to be this typical internet kid that's like, Game of Thrones used to be great. We're never going to see that great show we used to have again. And you sit and complain about everything that happened like we just did for the past hour. I'm making a promise that I don't know if I can keep. I mean, again, it depends on the episode. But I don't want to be this person. I want to be excited. So I'm with you. I'm looking to the future. 3 more episodes to go. We can only experience this for the first time once, so let's get excited, let's go on this journey, and before we say farewell to some of our favorite characters.
Absolutely, and I will say as well, episode 2 was like all build up to this, and if the next episode is all build up to fighting Cersei, I'll be really annoyed, because it feels like there's a lot to do, or that they should do. Since they've decided to kill the Night King, I see that as a promise that we're going to be fucking wowed by what happens next.
Yep.
That's what I mean by excited and scared, because I don't know if they can deliver on that. But for now, I'll remain hopeful.
And Snow better not die. Not Snow. Mm. Wait, what's his name? What's the stupid dog's name? Direwolf.
Oh, not Ghost.
Snow. Ghost. Yeah, Jesus. I'm thinking Jon Snow over here. But yeah, Ghost better not die. I did think he died because, you know, all the Dothraki died. But I guess there is a quick shot of him in the next episode preview. So Ghost better not die. Better live through the whole thing. And both dragons, neither dragon better die.
Well, I was very excited to see him, and I was also like, where the fuck were you at the Battle of the Bastards? Still wondering about that one. But anyway, until next time, thanks for hanging out, everyone. You can watch us live on YouTube at Shows What You Know. Just, you know, search Shows What You Know or youtube.com/showswhatyouknow. And you can also check out Jim at jimandem.com. I'm at awesomepedia.org. And that's everything for this week, except for one thing, Jim.
What's that?
Oh, I don't even know anymore.
Well, winter is here, my dude.
But I mean, like, is it?
Yeah. Kinda. Okay. Bye.
I feel like spring is coming.
Oh, I closed it.